While you're down there, I want you to think of something sad. Not too sad, right? Just think of something sad for a moment. And then try and hold on to that sadness. Now I want you to go back into the upright position. Bring your shoulders back and your head up in the air. And try and remain sad. That doesn't work either, does it? Okay. So our thoughts control everything. So our thoughts control our bodily functions, your heart, your lungs, even your posture at the moment. You're not thinking, oh, I have to sit like this, or like this, or like this. So there's all these hundreds of thousands of processes going on in your body at the moment that you're not having to think about. And your unconscious is running all those. So my idea about the unconscious is, why don't we pass it a few more things to do? Because anybody here who works in an office or an environment where you hand out work to people, if you want something done, you give it to the one that's busy. You give it to the one that's got nothing to do, it still won't get done, right? So my idea is, instead of the conscious that's already sort of got not much to do, but, you know, it's not very good at doing it, pass it to your unconscious and go, you know, here's another job for you. You've got 200,000 jobs going on at the moment. What's two or three more going to do with it? Okay. So there's a way of actually talking to your unconscious to actually say, I'm going to pass this over to you now. So for instance, last thing at night, first thing in the morning are brilliant times to talk to your unconscious. First thing in the morning's best because you've just been in that trance-like state. So you've been in this nice dreamy state and you wake up from it. Might be the alarm goes off or whatever. And you can then put it on snooze for 10 minutes. You have now got a brilliant time because it's quite easy to drift back into sleep. So now's a brilliant time to actually tell it what you want for the day in positive terms. And you can do this before you go to bed at night. So you can actually say, okay, now, if you go to bed saying to yourself, oh, I've got a problem. Oh, I've got a problem. I've really got a problem. It'll take you a long time to get to sleep because you're actually tensed up and sleeping is letting go. So you can't try to sleep because the two are opposing things. So if you go to bed going, oh, I've got a problem, I've got a problem, I've got a problem, your unconscious will take that on board. And it'll go, okay, got a problem. And you wake up in the morning, and as soon as you wake up, it goes, don't forget you've got a problem. And you start the day with a bad day. If you actually, just before you go to sleep, you say to yourself, okay, right, yeah, I've got this problem, okay. So what do I want? I want the solution to it. So how am I going to work on the solution? And if you start to think about a solution, an answer to it, and it could be there is no answer to it. But we'll come back to that one. So you actually start to think of the solution. So I ran a business a few years ago, and I had 210 staff. And if you start doing their work for them, you know, you never get over it. So somebody would call up and say, oh, can you make a decision on this, Stephen? And I would say, okay, right, for me to make a decision, have you got everything there that I would need to consider to make a decision? And they'd go, no. And I'd go, well, that's why you can't make a decision, and that's why I can't make one. So come back tomorrow and put everything together that I need to make a decision. And I'd go, okay. And they'd come back the following day, and they'd go, right, I've got everything here to make a decision from. And I go, make it then. I don't need to make it. They were only pushing it onto me because they didn't have all the facts there anyway. Right, so how can I make a decision? So this is what you'll end up doing. If you actually go from either the problem to finding the solution, you'll actually start to work on it then. So you might spend another 5 to 10 minutes actually going, okay, so who does it involve, what does it involve, can't do anything about it, and so on. So there are two different ways things can work in life. There are things in life you can do something about. And if you've got any sense and you want to stop worrying about it, you can do something about it. And then there are things in life you can do nothing about.
You can also trip over your own microphone. Back in a second.
Right. Yeah. So, I'll just go over that again. There's two ways you can deal with things. Things that you can't possibly deal with. It's about somebody else. It's about an illness or something. You don't know the outcome. You know, only time will tell. All those things you can do something about, and then you do something about it. And the things that you can't do anything about, the only thing you can do is change how you feel about it. All right? And we all use that little wrong saying, how it makes me feel, as though there's some pre-prescribed way of feeling, right, that's expected of us, or we should feel like this, or something's happened, we should feel sad. You know, this thing's happened, or we should feel happy now. Well, if you don't feel that, you don't feel that. So there's ways of looking at things and saying, first of all, can I do something about it? If so, what can I do about it? Or if it's the world's problems, you know, will signing a petition help or whatever? If not, you cannot be worried about every single person in the world that's going through trauma or lack of water or hunger or being killed in wars and so on. You know, thereby lies madness. There is not much of anything you can do about it. So do the things that you can do, the protests or the sending messages on awareness, things like that. But there's not much of anything else you can do. But certain things in our life, we can do something about. So we have to do that. The things you can't do something about, there's a thing called reframing. So all you do is you take something and you say, well, what is the positive outcome of this? How can I turn this into something good? However little good you can get from it. And if something's happening to you in your life, it's usually that it's heading towards something that's going to get better. But we don't know it at the time. So something happens, we break up in a relationship, it wasn't absolutely brilliant, but it was all right, and we feel really sad. But then down the road, we actually meet somebody who we absolutely adore, which we wouldn't have come across if this previous thing hadn't happened. And reframing something can change you in an instant. Because these loops, I'm going to talk about these loops in a minute, these loops that you run in the background say, this is how I think and act. And as soon as you change your mind on that, it changes this loop. So for instance, I went to a meeting once, and it was one of these where you go and grab coffee in the morning, and then you sort of turn around, but everybody's crowded in, and you turn around into a little gap, and usually there's three or four people, and you get chatting, and what was the journey like, and you do all that. And I sort of moved across and then turned into this gap. And it was just me and this woman. And she was... And I thought, oh, no. I don't do small talk very well. So it was like, what was your journey like? And terrible. And then I was stuck to something to say. She was stuck for something to say. So then I'm quite blunt, really. So I said, you don't look very happy. And she went, oh, I've just been made redundant. At which point, the natural thing to say is, oh, really sorry to hear that. And then you sort of join in with them. And I went, brilliant! And she looked at me as if to say, this guy must be deaf or daft. And she went, did you hear me properly? I just said I've been made redundant. And I said, yes, brilliant! Why is that brilliant? And I said, just think of all those opportunities, of all the things you can do now that you've never, ever been able to do. And her eyes darted about, and I could see her counting them. It was almost like, oh, 7, 8, 9, 10. And I left her for about a minute, and then she grew about 4 inches taller, smiled at me and went, I'd never thought of it like that. So in an instant, you can change how you feel about something. And the weird thing is, when it involves other people, so when we react to other people and so on, and we think, well, okay, so if it's somebody else involved, I can't make them into a better person, you know, however hard I try, and that's what most marriages do, don't they? They get somebody who's nearly right and then try and fix them for the rest of your life. And it doesn't work, because they don't want fixing, or they didn't even know they were broken. So, but you remind them on a regular basis that they are. Sorry, I put myself off there. So, there I go. This is the test now, you see. I'm going to say, where was I then? And somebody's going to say, I don't know, Stephen, you were just rambling. So, when it's other people, Because you can't change other people, however, as soon as you change how you feel about them, suddenly they change how they feel about you. And so it does change. So even the things you can't change, change if you change. Right? And everything we think is just a thought. And yet we give it this reality that it hasn't got. So I think we've all had a dream where your partner cheats on you. Anybody not had that? Right? So you have this dream where your partner cheats on you, and you wake up in the morning and you... And they go, what's up? And you go, you. And you give them the cold shoulder for a fortnight, right? Because what you think happened, anything that happens in your mind, you're actually not quite sure whether it's real or not. And it must be real because you thought it, didn't you? And why would you have had that dream if they're not cheating? So we always have this thing, we turn it into reality. We have negative thoughts, we turn them into reality. In fact, everything we think actually gets attracted into our lives. So if we always think bad things of other people, then we'll think we're good mind readers. Because you go, I know what they think about me. Right, now, whose brain did that come from? If I think I know what you're thinking about me, is that your brain and I'm a really good mind reader? Or is that me just projecting into you that I think you think? So whatever I think you think about me is obviously what I think about me. And so I say this to people and I go, so they don't really think bad of you. Oh, but they told me they thought bad of me. And I go, ah, but when they say things, what they say to you is a reflection of them. Right? So whichever way round you do it, so if you think that they think something about you, you join in with it and you go, yes, I'm a terrible, horrible person. Or you think, oh, they told me I'm a terrible, horrible person, but that probably means they're a terrible, horrible person, because who else would tell you that? Okay, so you have to stop taking thoughts as being real, because you manifest whatever you think about into this world. If you think you're in ill health all the time, I'm always poorly, next week, you know, I'll come down with something else, you will. You absolutely will. And when you're ill, you need to think about getting healthy. And the more you think about getting healthy, the more health will be attracted to you. If you've got a lack of money and you keep thinking, I've got a lack of money, I've got a lack of money, I've got a lack of money, you get more of a lack of money. You don't just get more money, okay? You have to put yourself in the situation where you truly believe and manifest things into your life. And it starts to happen. And it's happening all the time in my life now, since I've come to this sort of conclusion. And I do lots of research and things, and the amount of times that I study something that is totally relevant to anything I've ever studied before, the following day, I have a client turn up, and it's just ideal for them. Absolutely ideal. I've got an anecdote, I've got sort of worked out how it works and everything. It happens virtually every day to me. You manifest people into your life. My lovely assistant at the back of the room, Trudy. I was at an event like this a few months ago, and I did this thing of projecting unconditional love. Not just out of me and filling the room up, but I projected it right around the world and back again. And 5 minutes later, Trudy turned up into my life, who had joined in doing something similar that day. And we've been together ever since. Thank you. Thank you. Now, the thing you have to understand, and I think this should be taught to everybody, because very few people understand this, is that the human mind does not understand negatives, right? So you can't tell it what you don't want. If you tell it what you don't want, that's still what it'll give you, right? Your unconscious has like a gatekeeper. It's like a very small but intelligent child. And it looks after you in every way and shape possible. I studied ME some time ago and fibromyalgia, and I worked out how it worked. And it was quite simply that everybody who's got ME or fibromyalgia overdoes things all the time. And it gets to the point where they get ill one day, a bug or something gets them, but it gets them worse than anybody else on the planet, because they've lowered the resistance, everything, and they're always sort of driving themselves, they're running out of physical supplies of energy. And so their immune system starts to get shot to pieces. So eventually they'll get a bug or a virus, or they'll get an injection, or they'll have a car crash even. And for a few weeks they'll be laid up. And as they're laid up, the body now goes, I get some rest, but I only get some rest when they're poorly. When they're all right, they're running around like blue-arse flies, and I can't stop them, and I can't even stop the chatter in their head. Right? But when they're poorly, they stop still for a while. So it'll give you pain, and it'll give you fatigue, just to stop you in your tracks. And it's a bit like it worries about that you're going to blow the main switch, which is called death. Right? So it trips the switch off. So it goes, okay, let's turn that off for you. And then, because people who have those illnesses are actually fighters, they're not lazy people at all, exactly the opposite, because they fight the illness, then it goes, you haven't learnt your lesson, so it flicks another switch. And it keeps flicking these switches off until they're totally incapacitated. And it designs the illness for that person. So when you go on a forum and everybody's asking each other what illnesses they've got, it doesn't matter, because your illness is absolutely unique to you. It's designed by you, for you. Now, this is a present from your unconscious. Now, if you're in pain or fatigue, you know, so much that you can't even get out of bed for 2 minutes in a day, you won't see that as a present, okay? But it is, because the alternative's death. So your unconscious will never do anything it thinks harms you, right? It might give you pain and other things, but in the world of the unconscious, pain is a necessary message to you. So I'll take, for instance, that you break your arm. You fall over and break your arm, and the bone comes out the side. Bad, right? So you fall over and bang your arm, and it goes, oh, we seem to be all right, little bit of pain, right? You look down and you see the bone stuck out your arm, you go, oh, lot of pain, right? And it's going to give you that pain until you've been to the hospital and they straighten it out, put it in a cast, sewn it up and all that. When it's in a plaster cast, it's still broken, but it stops hurting. Because the brain goes, well, we've done everything we can now. We've immobilised it. You know, we're not going to do any more damage there, so I can turn the pain off. Right? So pain is a necessary thing. But the trouble is we make up with our thoughts our own emotional pain. So we think about what others think about us. We think our own negative thoughts. We project into the future a thing called worry. Now worry, I looked up on the internet and I found 53 different emotions. And then the more I looked it up, it subdivides and then you get thousands of them. But the basic emotions, there was like 53 emotions. And I looked down all of them, and every single one I saw had a reason for it. So anxiety is actually good. You know, if you've got to give a talk to 40, 50 people in a room, and you're a little bit anxious, you prepare better for it, and then you've got everything you need with you. And with everything else in life, you prepare. Anxiety is to make you prepare. Worry is the only thing I could find is of no use to anybody, right? There's absolutely no purpose to worry. We're the only things on the planet that worry. So you get an antelope that's sort of on the outside of the herd, and the lion comes along and it chases this poor little antelope and it misses it. And 5 seconds later, the antelope isn't going, wonder if there's any more lions. He's actually bent down eating grass again. Right? Can you imagine an antelope 2 weeks later still looking up at his friends going, do you know a lion chased me 2 weeks ago? So upset, right? It doesn't happen. It's only humans that carry this thing on. So when we worry, what we're actually doing is we project something into the future. We think about something in the future, we pick out the worst possible scenario, and then we go, so that's what's going to happen. And the second you do that, so I dealt with a guy who'd got cancer, just been diagnosed with it. He didn't know how bad it was or whatever. There was going to be 6 months worth of treatments. And he phoned me up and said, I want to remain positive through this. And so I said, okay, we're going to deal with all the positive, I'm going to give you all the positive issue you need. But first of all, what's your worst fear? And he said, oh, I don't want to go there because, you know, I just want to talk positive. And I said, but first of all, we have to accept where we are now, right? If you set off on any journey and you put yourself on the map on a different place where you are now, you're actually going to take the wrong journey, aren't you? So we all have to accept where we are now. So I said, so you've been diagnosed with this illness and you in the back of your mind, you've got to worry, haven't you? And he went, I don't want to talk about it. I said, no, you've got to talk about it. And I prodded and prodded and prodded him until he broke down. And I'll try and miss the swear words ahead, but he said he was going to die a terrible, agonizing death. That's what he thought. And I said, did the usual reframe. I said, brilliant. And he went, what? I'm going to die a terrible, agonizing death. I said, no, brilliant that you've admitted that that's how you feel. Right? Now, let's talk about all the other alternatives that there are. So at the end of 6 months, you could be absolutely clear of this illness, right? You could have died a terrible and agonising death. That's you know, one of the possibilities. But there's about 3,000 opportunities in between that of different things that could happen. And if you focus on this thing over here now, so this terrible and agonising death that's going to happen in 6 months' time, you actually gather it up now and you bring it to now. And you live every minute in this terrible, agonising death that you're going to have in 6 months' time. But that's only a thought. So when you actually get to here and you haven't died the terrible, agonising death, you've actually had a taste of run of it for 6 months for something that's never going to happen. So you have to be very careful with your thoughts, that which direction they take you in, and that you need to think in a positive way. How are we doing for time, everybody? Just after four. So you all failed me by not telling me at 4 o'clock. Right, okay. So, when you have a negative thought, would you like to be able to turn it into a positive one?
Yes.
Are we all for that? Does everybody want to have a go at this? This is quite a fun thing to do. Okay. So first of all, I'm going to teach you a really simple technique to do it. And then I'm going to get you to think of something a bit more horrific, and we're actually going to get rid of it en masse. Okay? One thing I should say is I'm going to get people to throw away the negative thing that they've got. Right? But don't be frightened of picking up somebody else's negativity. They're just throwing it away. It's nothing to do with you. Okay? So I don't want people skipping around the room. I think somebody threw something there and, you know. Okay? We've had this before where somebody throws it near the back door and then nobody will leave the building. Okay? But their negativity is nothing to do with you. Right? And this is based on the way the brain works. So I mentioned earlier about if you think your partner's had an affair, you will actually believe it to be true. Your brain works in that way. If it does something, and it does it really vividly, it doesn't know the difference between reality and the truth. It just doesn't know which it was. So if you have a thought, if you try and combine all your other senses in with it, it will work better than if you just think about it. Okay? Because everything we think about, we put away with all the emotions attached to it. And so when we go and fetch it back, we get the emotions, we get the smells, we get all the other things, the pain that was with it. So you can actually take somebody back to a period of the time that was awful, and they'll relive it. They'll actually feel the pain. I was hypnotized once about the time that I actually collapsed and thought I'd had a heart attack, and I thought I was having a heart attack because they took me back there. And I never do that to people. I'll take people back to look at something, but I won't let them take on the emotions of that thing. But the more you take on the emotions of things, the better you can deal with it, and you can change those emotions into what you want them to be. Okay? So bearing in mind, anything you tell your brain, if you tell it in a negative way, it'll try and get that for you. Right, so what, I dealt with weight loss for quite some time. And one of the things I used to say is that if you sat on the settee and you suddenly think, oh, packet of biscuits in the cupboard, right? The next thought is, I mustn't eat the biscuits. Right? Now, that's a negative phrasing. Your brain just sees the packet of biscuits. Right? So it's a bit like saying, eat the biscuits. So mustn't eat the biscuits is actually eat the biscuits. So you'll find yourself rising out of your chair going, mustn't eat the biscuits, mustn't eat the biscuits. I mustn't eat the biscuits. I mustn't eat these. I'll just have the one. I won't have another one. I won't have this next one either. And this is really greedy now. And I shouldn't eat the whole packet, the whole packet, the whole packet. I mustn't start this packet. And off you go. Because you're actually just saying, eat the packet, eat the packet. Don't, you know, eat the next packet. Right? So as soon as you get something that's negative, you need to change it into a positive. So my first technique with you is going to be, think of something quite trivial first time round. Okay? We'll take something a bit more bothering you later on. But I want you to pop one hand out, and I want you to cup it just a little bit so that you could fit something onto it. Okay. Now, I want you to imagine negative written across that hand. Okay? And just visualize, burn the word negative in there as though you've had it tattooed on your hand. Okay? Now, just for 1 second, I just want you to turn your hand over, and I want you to visualize positive written on the back of it. Okay? So let's put them palm up again. Right. Okay. So I want you to think of the negative thing that you've got now, and just notice your hand. Just notice your hand, and notice the fact that it says negative, right? So this is you during a normal day, catching yourself out doing something negative. So as I said, the conscious doesn't have this great capacity, but the unconscious does. So if you do this on a regular basis, you'll actually find yourself one day going like that, and you'll think, what's that about? And then you'll think, what was I just thinking? It was negative, right? So as soon as you think of something negative, put your hand out. Eventually it'll work the other way around. So I want you to think of those that negative thing. All right? Now, I want you to flick your hand over. Flick it. Get rid of it. Right? And I want you to look at the back of your hand and see the word positive. I now want you to think of what's the exact opposite of the negative, because it's bound to be a positive. All right? And just remember, you need to phrase it in a positive way. Is anybody struggling with that? Anybody got a good example they want to share?
Anybody? I'm struggling with it because that was a box of chocolates at home that I want to keep eating.
Okay.
And when I went like that, what's the opposite? Not eating chocolates.
I'm very pleased about that. You can drop your hands down for the time being. So when you think of something like that, where the negative is the box of chocolates or the biscuit, right? The opposite is, well, why don't you want the box of chocolates? Is it weight or is it...
Can't stop.
Okay. Right. So you actually don't want a box of chocolates, do you?
No.
You want a chocolate.
Yes.
But you don't want to eat the whole lot.
Yeah.
Right. So you could take it from box of chocolates, oh God, I'll eat the whole lot, to I'm perfectly capable of eating one chocolate. Right? And quite often when we eat, we do it not for reasons of hunger. And if you fancy a specific thing, that's not hunger. Right? If you're hungry, you'll eat anything. Right? So if you just fancy pork scratchings, well, that's just a fancy. Right? And you can say to yourself, well, why do I fancy pork scratchings? Well, it's usually when we're bored. If we're busy, we can go all day and not eat, even those of us that like eating. You can go all day without eating, and then suddenly work stops or whatever, and then it's suddenly, oh, you know, I need things, and you actually gather them up and eat them. Right? So sometimes we just need company. We might need to chat to somebody. We might need to tell them about the day. It might be a relationship issue. It could be anything. Or it might be that you're thirsty. And quite often when we're thirsty, we mistake that for hunger. So you might do, oh, box of chocolates. No, I really don't want a box of chocolates. So what do I want? I'll have a glass of water. Okay, so just think of something positive that comes out of it. If anybody's a golfer here, you'll know that somebody says, oh, that pond over there, so many balls get lost in that pond. Do not hit your ball in that pond, whatever you do. Just go straight over there to the green, you go, pond, pond, tsh, splash, right? And if you're skidding in a car and you see a tree and you go, oh, there's a tree, I mustn't hit the tree, you'll hit the tree. Whereas if you actually say, well, what should I do? I wanted to go down that road there. You actually, as you turn, you actually go the right way to turn down the road. Right? So everything your unconscious does, it does for a purpose. Now, Everybody do all right with the positive negative thing? Do you want to take it a step up a step? Okay. You'll just need to put your hand out a little bit longer. So take something a bit more serious in your life. And we're going to do this, and we're going to do it a few times, and we'll get faster as we go. Okay? So what I want you to do, this is personal to you. So I want to take that negative thing out of your head, and I want you to turn it into a physical object on your hand with your own visualization. So I want you to visualize it as a shape. Any shape of your choice. I want you to either make it solid or see-through and give it a colour. I want you to give it a texture. Give it a weight and just bounce your hand up and down a little bit. Feel the weight of it. Could be heavy, could be light. Give it a temperature, hot or cold. Make a sound to it as well. Get all your senses involved. And really get to the state now where you can actually feel that that thing's come out of your head and into your hand. Right? Now, I want you to bring that thing closer to your face. And notice that when you bring it closer to your face, the negativity increases. Right? The hold it's got over you. And then I want you to extend your arm right out as far away from your face as you can. And notice that it starts to have less impact on you. Has everybody got that? Okay, so while you've got it out there, what I want you to do is throw it away. Okay, now, what I want you to do is do this exactly the same again. So pop your hand out with the same thing. Try and visualize it again. And just start to notice that this time it's not as clear. Right? It probably doesn't weigh as much. It's probably the temperature is not there. Right? It might be getting a bit greyer, less colour in it. Just visualise it out there. Feel the weight of it. Bring it closer to you. Notice how it affects you more when it's close to you. Extend it away from you and throw it away. Okay, now we're going to do it really fast. So what I want you to do is pop it out, project it into your hand. As soon as you've got it there, throw it away. Right, now fast, and make up some music in your head. Right, put it in your hand, throw it away. Put it in your hand, throw it away. Put it in your hand, throw it away. Put it in your hand, throw. Three, throw. Okay, now pop your hand. Now, in fact, everybody have a shake. Come on, change the mode. Right, now pop your hand out. Try and project it onto your hand. Anybody got it at the same intensity at all? No? A lot less? Anybody not got it at all anymore? Good. Okay. That's it. That's all you need to do. So, because this thing about mindfulness is you're using your conscious brain that's only got 9 bits of data, I'm all the time asking my unconscious to deal with things. So if you ask your unconscious, and you can just talk to it, it hears everything you say, you can ask your unconscious to deal with things for you. You ask it nicely, you show it unconditional love, you treat it as you would a small child you have, right? Even if it does something naughty, you still love the child, right? You might not like what it's doing, you still love the child. Treat it with unconditional love, it never gets thanked. Just work out your age and then think of how many heartbeats you've actually done since the day you were born. How much your blood has pumped round the system, how many breaths you've taken, how your body has maintained a perfect pH balance, your temperature has always been spot on. It's done all that for you since the day you were born. In fact, when I hear somebody's not well, I actually think, well, how do people live more than a day? We're a collection of 60 billion cells, a trillion cells that all work together and make us what we are. So just accept where you are now. Accept the things in life that you want to change. And then be aware that you can change it. But if you just do it with your conscious part of your brain, you're fighting a losing battle. If you can pass it over to your unconscious, it will look after you as best it can. There endeth the lesson. Thank you. Right. Just before you go, we've given you all a brochure, an evaluation form, and there's also a prize draw that you can fill in to win either 50% of a session with me or a CD of your choice of you telling me what you want me to make CDs for. The evaluation forms will help ensure that I actually get to give more talks, because if they don't know how good I am, they'll probably go, well, we'll have somebody else. So please fill that in for me. There are some clipboards about and things. There's pens at the back of the room as well. So thank you very much, everybody. And you've been a lovely audience. Thank you.